Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Thousand years ago, Christ went to the cross for you and me. He didn't hold anything back for you. He didn't hold anything back from you. He held nothing back, but the Bible says he laid it down, and on the cross he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He didn't hold a thing back. In fact, he said these words at the very end. He said, "It is finished." Because it was finished. The Creator actually finished the redemptive track for all of mankind. It wasn't that you're ready to go yet or that I was ready to go yet, but the redemption track was in place. The plan that God set from the beginning, from the fall of man, God set that in order, and he said, "It is finished." From this day forward, no one would ever have to be without a personal relationship with you, Father, because all of it was made right at the cross. See, on your worst day, you're not that good. Did you hear me? Let me say it this way. Your sin, my sin, is not that good. But his redemptive plan is that awesome. Because for you and for me, on our worst day, which would, by the way, be a sinful day, it's where we are of a sinful nature. That's what the Bible teaches. But he also goes on to teach that because of the redemption work at the cross, he bought and paid for your sin. And the Bible says this. This is the amazing thing about my sin. Let me just talk about my sin for a second. I don't want to talk about yours anymore. My sin, what's amazing about my sin is I was good at it. No, I'm not joking. I was really good at it. And by the way, in my flesh, I can still be that way. But this is what his plan was. He said, from now on, when your sin is covered by my blood, the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ, that's what the Bible says. He was a living sacrifice. He was a sacrifice for you and for me. And the Bible says that he took our sin and he cast it into a sea called forget. He said, the Bible actually says, it'll never be counted against you. Another version says, it'll never be remembered against you. But this is what we do. Lord, I know what I did. I was a scoundrel. And let me tell you where that's right where the enemy wants us. Have a seat for just a second. Go ahead and have a seat. That's right where the enemy wants us. Where we're remembering everything we ever did. It's the reason that we don't know if we're going to ever go to heaven. I have people say that to me all the time. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. I've heard those words, I bet, 1,000 times, just in my ministry lifetime. But I want to go back to the first thing I said. On your worst day, your sin, when I say it wasn't that good, I mean it isn't that powerful. It's just not that powerful. But the power of the cross removes all sin from you and from me. And we can spend eternity with Christ. We can know that, not because I'm that good, but because God is that good. Because he loves me that much. Now, I'm not preaching a weak gospel here. Let me tell you, sin separates from God. That's what the Bible says. Sin separates from God. That's why the cross, because that reinstates a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And by the way, the Bible says only the righteous will see him. Well, yeah, the way I am made righteous is through the redemptive work of the cross. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing, his love for you and for me. It doesn't soft pedal sin. It removes it from us as far as east is from the west, never to be remembered again. And by the way, once he does that, it's not yours anymore to remember either. Did you hear me? I heard one person say, that's right. When he bought it and paid for it, I believe, let me tell you something, when I go to a store and I buy something and I pay for it and I ask for it to be put in the bag with receipt, I want to walk out with it because it's my possession. When he bought it, it became his possession to do whatever he wanted to with it. And all of a sudden, I want to reach into the bag and pull it back out from the one who purchased it. That's called stealing. Seriously, I would go to jail if I reached into someone's bag and pulled an item out and ran away with it and said, it's mine. Even if I owned it originally. No. I sold a car to a lady about 7 years ago. I actually found a key to that car not long ago. If I went and got in that car today and started it and drove it out of her driveway and said, hey, wait a minute. It was mine originally. You get the picture. It's no longer yours. It's no longer mine. It's his to do with whatever he chooses to do with. Don't go fishing in the lake called Forget. There's a no fishing sign there. Isn't that a great thing? You don't have... Yeah, give the Lord a huge hand. Come on. Give the Lord a huge hand. Thank you for being here. We are truly thrilled that you're here, and we believe that God has you here for a reason on any given Sunday. I don't believe you're here on accident. I don't believe that at all. I always believe in the plan, the sovereignty of God. There's a purpose for you being here any given Sunday. There is a precious friend of mine that's coming to the platform today. So would you welcome, this is, you know, Rex. He is part of us. He has been long a part of SCRC. Rex Bornman.
Yes, I have. That's the one wing that's working.
That's the one wing.
That is the one wing that's working. How are all of you today? What a delight. What an honor. I'm just chattering on so they can figure out what level they want to set me up at back there. And, it's called taxiing before you take off. But it's always a delight to be able to be with the St. Charles River Church family. It's a great thing to be able over the years to travel so many places. And it's not so much the places, you know, those who, wow, this is getting worse and not better. Now, whoa. There's some improvement right there. I was scaring myself earlier, so. But one of the awesome privileges of traveling places, there are people who think it's really romantic to travel all over the world and to be in so many different countries and do all of that. And I tell them, you know, here's the honest truth about traveling. I love arriving. Can I say it again? I love arriving. Because I love the people that you get to meet. I love the relationships. I love being varieties of places. Getting there, not so much. But I love being here because there are so many precious friends, so much of a rich history. It's great to see and honor the Grissom family again. That's beautiful. I'm in. It's going to be hard for you to say no, by the way, if you want to say no to this invitation. But it's great to be here. We love Barry and Gina Ivy. They are such precious people. Thanan's precious people. Manis's. I mean, there's so many people here that are beautiful. Love Sherry. She's my bubba. Has been for a long... It's a bubba thing, yeah. If you don't know what that is, you have to ask Sherry about it. It relates to us. But I'm going to be here next week as well. Not to preach, because Bob Gunn is going to be here, but I'm a part of that Panama team. Yes, I am. And... Any and every time that I have the opportunity to be a part of those, I want to do it. And I want to encourage you, if you have not been with St. Charles River Church on a mission trip, please prioritize, save money, do whatever you need to do. Get a second job. Sell something. Sell like your fifth and sixth TVs. Or computers, or whatever it is, to get some money together to be able to be a part of one of these mission teams. Honestly, it's life altering. Yes. It gives you an opportunity to see God in a way that you might not be able to see Him in your everyday world. And I just would challenge you, it's everybody who's been on a mission team and think that's the truth, would you kind of give me a hoo-hoo or a what a? That's a weak hoo-hoo. All right, let me share. We don't take a ton of time here, so I want to spend the time. If I just spend the whole time reading scripture to you, I hope you don't mind that, because I think the scripture has that much power and that much truth. But the subject for today is together. I mean, that's really what I want to talk to you about. That's been mentioned here multiple times, and I don't think that's in any way accidental. I didn't set it up that way. It's not engineered that way. But sometimes the Lord just works it out that way. We are better together. We are a together people. Sometimes we talk about individuals and we say of them, oh, they've got it all together. Let me straight tell you, for the purpose of today's message, you can't be together alone. Can I say it again so you get this? You can't be together alone. May I remind you that alone isn't good. Alone wasn't good when everything was perfect in the garden of God's creation. Alone wasn't good in a perfect world. Clearly, alone isn't good in a fallen world. When we struggle with sin and issues and egos and stuff and politics and war and ownership and all this nasty nonsense, the reality is God has not willed for us to be alone. He has not planned for us to be alone. Life in the Spirit of God, life in Christ, is life together. Wow, I can see you're all just enthused about this. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Together, together, together. I understand that judgment is a solo experience. Each of us, the Bible, give an account of themselves to God. And you're not there to blame someone else. You're not there to compare yourself. I'm better than most. You're not there with anybody else in mind. You're there to give an answer for yourself. But the answer for yourself is going to have everything to do with how you related to one another. Because none of us lives to themselves, and none of us dies to themselves, and none of us is on our own. Think that way. On my own, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm no, you're not on your own. Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I just don't like people very much. Then you don't love the Lord. Now, that's just not my opinion. That's what the Scripture says. If you cannot love your brother whom you can see, how do you love God whom you don't see? If a person really loves God, then they will by default love the people that God loves. And here's the beauty. You can hate everybody that God hates. You have the St. Charles River Church official permission to hate everybody that God hates. As long as you'll commit to loving everybody that God loves. Amen. Because you begin to realize that this is what spawns this together thing. This together thing and this living in the love of Christ. They work hand in glove. They work hand in hand. This is one kind of making the other go. I don't know which is the engine and which is the gasoline, but I can tell you this, that when you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you will love others. That's right. You just will. You can't not love others. And so together seems to make a lot of sense. I just think when I look into the Scripture, there are so many books I could have picked from, but I chose some Scripture from the book of Ephesians. Can I just start by, I told you I was going to read a bunch of Scripture. Can I read a little bit to you about who we actually are from the first chapter before we get started with today's Scripture? I love this. This talks about us, who we are in Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Us. Together. Yeah, that's what I was saying, us together. Let's try that again. Us together. There you go. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ because he chose us. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Pastor already talked about that a little bit. Holy and blameless. This no fault zone, this no judgment, this no pointing fingers kind of zone here. We are chosen. We are chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. And this was the pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glorious grace, here's a really cool scripture. The praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of the grace that he has, I love this phrase, lavished on us. I don't care how you think about pictures. Doesn't lavish sound good? Ravish is bad. Lavish is good. Lavish is the bubble bath that like goes everywhere and cleans itself. Really, lavish is above and beyond cool and wonderful and amazing and good and awesome. We have all of these superlatives. We love superlatives in our generation. The fastest, the coolest, the wildest, the smartest, the biggest, the bestest, which isn't even a word. But lavish, he has lavished grace on us. All right, well, don't enjoy it then. Seriously. Some of you wonder what to do if you hit the lottery. Sorry. Musing to myself here. Here's the one I really love. He has also made known to us the mystery of his will, because it was his good pleasure that he purposed in Christ. How many of you love a good mystery? Any Arthur Conan Doyle fans in the house? Sherlock Holmes? Yeah. All these mystery kind of, Agatha Christie, whatever kind of, the mystery. I love a good mystery. But here's the mystery. In case you're wondering what the mystery is defined in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 6. Look at this one. Ephesians chapter 3, 6. This is the mystery. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, and here's the word, together with Israel, members together, there's the word again, in one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ. Amen. I have taken on in these last years of our lives, whatever's left of our lives, I've taken on this ideology and this ministry, this missionary task, if you will, of trying to convince the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that it's involved with every nation and every kindred and every tribe and every tongue, and that he makes no difference between the races and the nations and the language groupings and the ethnos. But that when God looks at the church, he looks at the church together as one. Do you get this? This is the reality of who God is. This is a slam dunk. Now, I have to tell you that in a world where sin reigns and where people's ideologies rule their worlds, where if it is to be, it is up to me, and we talk about individualism, and we glorify individualism, and we make autonomy a thing to be desired and wanted and wished for. We build nations on our ability to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, bless God. Don't need anybody. Yes, you do. Because you are a part of everybody else. There is a race issue in the world. There is. There is. You come on. It's cultural. It's a reality. Whether it's black, white, red. This isn't a very dark house. I don't mean light up top. I mean in terms of skin color.
Yeah. It's true.
You say, are you here to pick on me, Pastor? No, I'm not. I'm just here to remind you that there is one race. It's called the human race. There's one Savior of all mankind, and that the kingdom is made up of every kindred and nation and tribe and tongue, and that we are in the sight of God together. This is the mystery. See, the Jews had it figured out. The Jews knew that they were Jews. They even had a mark that they put in the male bodies to say that they were Jews. You get that? They had rites and ceremonies and religious places and ideologies and all manner of years of history to prove that not only were they a family, not only were they a nation, but they were a people of God because they were Jews. And in their minds, everybody who wasn't Jewish, everybody who wasn't Israel was Gentile. It's and you say that's oversimplistic. No, it's not unusual. In today's world, the Islamic world thinks the exact same way. If you're not a part of Islam, you are an infidel. I don't care if you have 50 years in a Catholic church. I don't care if you have a perfect attendance record in Sunday school at a Baptist church. You've given your life for God in your own understanding. In the mind of the Islamic world and the Muslim believer, you are an infidel. Whether you're black, white, Arab, Greek, American, it doesn't matter what your nation or what your race or what your history. You're just other than they are. Do you get that? So it was one and all the rest. It was Jew and all the Gentiles. And that's why when Paul comes along and says, here's the mystery, ha ha, God has never willed it to be you and them. He just looks at all of y'all. I'm officially a Texan. All y'all. All y'all. I got a note from my presbyter just after I'd left because they were having a meeting this week, and I said I couldn't be in town this week and I wouldn't be back till the end of the month and blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, God bless all y'all. And he wrote it. I officially now know how to spell all y'all. So I'm truly becoming a Texan. But here's the reality. When God looks at the kingdom, he looks at all y'all. When God looks at blessing your life, he looks at all y'all. When you look, you need to catch this. When you look at your blessings, you don't need to look at your bank account and what it can do for you and your family. You need to start to look at it in what it'll do for all y'all. What did you know? Well, when I compare what I know with what Pastor Carl knows, it's so little and na-na-na. Yeah, but what do you know when you compare it with all y'all? You may know more about the gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ than tens of thousands of people in the neighborhoods of St. Charles and St. Louis counties. What are you going to do with it? There you go. I heard somebody say, share it. Ding, ding, ding. You win the Chevrolet. That's the right answer. That is. What do we do? We share it. Everything. Here's what the Bible says. It's clear. Don't let anybody tell you that what they have is their own. What do you have that you didn't receive? I know you put your name on it, but here's the reality. God owns it. He owned it before he gave it to you. He gave it to you not so you could spend it on yourselves, but you could have a mind of what you might do for all y'all. Y'all are being so quiet about this. Okay, let me get to the scripture for today. We've already seen the word appear several times, together, 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 together. Because I really want you, if you do go out of the house and don't mumble anything else to yourself and in prayer, please mumble together, together, together. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, you definitely need to mumble together, together, not our cars. But our hearts, our spirits. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 2. It's a beautiful set of passages here. Let's start in verse number 19 of it, Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah, verse number 19. Consequently, and this is, he's talking about this grace, this marvelous calling of God. And see, he says, because of all that God has done, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens. Let me say it differently. Consequently, all y'all. Consequently, all y'all are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together. There's the word. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Isn't that exciting? This is it. I want to teach you something today. Really simple thing. Here's this amazing theological truth. Are you ready? Put your hands up like this. If you have one hand, you'll have to partner with Pastor Carl. And you use your right hand. Barry can use his left. Okay? Put your hands up like this. Come on. Come on. Nobody is exempt. All y'all. All y'all. Put them up, both of them. You need two for this. Now I want you to do this. Whoop. Angle them this way and sling them in together. Get that? Now what do you have there? Check that out. Yeah, there you go. Somebody is so sharp. Geometry people. I love you. We have this cool little triangle thing that we've just made. Now, that's the picture. I just want you to keep that in mind, okay? Because here's the reality. I'm going to show you what the rays look like. Here's God at the top, and he's shooting out his rays of blessing and life and love toward everybody. He's redeeming all y'all. He's calling all y'all. He's blessing and providing for all y'all. He's taking away the sin of all y'all. He's doing all of this for all y'all. Because of this lavishing grace on who? On all y'all. With the idea that somewhere, someone is going to go, yes, I'm receiving and I'm recycling. I'm going to receive and respond. I'm going to believe that God loves me, and so I'm going to love him because he first loved me. Do you get that? And so now you have this ray. You have God connecting with you and you connecting with God. But here's the beauty. God is working all over the world with all y'all. And he starts making these connections. And then people that you don't necessarily know nor approve of nor like, much less understand, support, and have compassion for. He is saving people of every ilk and kind and color and stripe and size and substance. And here's what he expects. That when he circulates a line there and they begin to go, oh God, thank you for loving me. Thank you that in my Arab lostness, you have loved me with an everlasting love. I'm going to love you with all of my heart and soul and mind and strength. And I'm going to love everything that is yours. And so here's God with you. And here's God with this Arab. And now what do? You form this line of relationship. Do you get that? That's how relationships are. Relationships are not about you and them. It's about you and him and them. It's not when two get together. It's when two get together with the third. You get together in Jesus' name. You understand that our relationship is in him. That we move and we live and we have our being. It is in him that I am capable to love you. Not in my own self, not from my own history. I don't even understand you from my own history. You get that? You eat weird food. Seriously, you do. And if you don't believe me, travel with me to various parts of the world. People eat weird food. And they like it. You don't have to go far. Go up to Minnesota. Get among them Norwegian people who love to soak the fish in the lye and then eat it. Blah! And they love it so much that they'd like to share it with you, y'all. Well then, lutefisk. It's awful. I'm just telling you, I don't like their food. But I don't have an option to not love them. I don't have an option to not be truthful and honest and giving and sharing. And so you know what I give to them? I give them my taste buds. For one ravaging moment. And I choke down some of that lutefisk. In Jesus' name. Oh God, help it go down and stay down. Amen. Why would you do that? You would do that because it is in him. It is through him that we relate. You're misunderstanding the relationship if all you relate to other people is along this horizontal line. It's through the vertical angles that we relate to them in the name of Jesus. Do you understand that? It is in and through Christ that we love and support one another. And here's the beauty. You don't have to find love for them. If you'll make the journey through Christ, he has tons of love for them. If you stand on your own and try to find it, you aren't going to find it. I'm just going to be amazing and tolerant and patient and wonderful and gracious. Watch me go, Jesus. I can handle this one on my own. Anybody ever given that one a shot? I'm going to love them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be. It's like that's like your New Year's resolution to lose weight. It is. It's about that short life too. You know, God, not only do I not do all that, but I don't even like them. I'm going to pray for them. Oh, God, bless me with their absence. Really? Oh, God. Listen, if you'll go through Christ, I promise you. Now, that'll take a denying of yourself. It'll take a denying of your aloneness. It'll take a refusal to just be on your own. It will take an embracing of the idea that it's an all y'all thing. That in Him, we are joined. In Him, there's an us. Yet, you get that? In Him. In fact, to be in Him is to be a part of all y'all. In the name of Jesus. See, the point of unifying is not me or you. It's not you moving over here to be more like me, or me moving over here to be more like you. It's both of us moving to be more like Christ. Because the closer we get to Him, the closer we get to one another. Come on, it's simple physics. Come on, it's simple geometry. The further you drive up this line, the closer this becomes. Until you start to say, wow, we're more like family than we are church. I love you more than I love some of my siblings. How is that possible? It is possible because we're in Him. Amen. And He's in us. This is the point of how unity works. This is the point. He's the point. It is in Him that we find ourselves locked into these relationships. And then from Him, we find ourselves given all kind of individual opportunities and possibilities to serve Him by serving one another. Have you ever read it? It's in Ephesians. From Him then, this whole body fitly joined together receives these blessings and these graces, and God starts to pour out gifts. And some get this and some get that and some get this other thing. And it looks like all these individual things, but they're all given because He wants it to work for all y'all. They're all given so that one body can be blessed and built and strengthened and filled with the glory of the one God, one Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what Ephesians says. It's all through this epistle. This is the reality. We are in Him together. Now, can I just take it for just a second and parse the word, and then I'm going to quit because it's time for me to quit. Together. Would you just pull it apart for a second and make it three words? To get her. Now, for all you young men, don't go carnal on me. Don't go hormonal on me. In fact, don't even go male and female gender based on me. Stick with the gospel. Stick with the plan of God. Is to present His bride faultless before the presence of His glory. What is all this work of the Holy Spirit? What is all this individual gifting? What is all this individual provision? What is all this individual work of God inside of our lives intended to do? It is intended to serve the whole of all y'all together to get her ready. To get her to become the spotless, pure bride that looks and acts and speaks and walks and talks and loves and cares and gives and shares like Jesus Christ. God, do it for us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.